Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you're listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. We hope and pray that in joining us, you'll gain insight, wisdom, and courage to have these conversations with your own kids. Today on the program, we're talking about what it means to be called to greatness. It's easy to get confused about what greatness is, so we have our panelists here today to kind of share with us their insights and their ideas about what it means to be called to greatness. So why don't you tell us your name and where you go to school?
I am Gabriel, and I go to school at Big Walnut in Sunbury.
I'm Anna, and I go to Thomas Worthington High School.
I'm Kaylee, and I go to Bishop Watterson.
Okay, well, great. And I mean great, because that's what we're talking about today. Greatness, right? So I Googled call to greatness just to see kind of what would come up. And there were two general ideas that came up. And so the first one is summarized by, there was a show on MTV, I believe it was called Call to Greatness. And here's the description, right? This is the story of a bus full of people on a mission to break as many of the most insane and ridiculous feats on record as humanly possible. Their pursuit takes them to every state on the map in search of glory, honor, and home of the current world record holders. It's a duel for the mantle, an all-out battle matching courage and craziness, the de facto competition of our time. Didn't I do a good job with that?
You did.
Impressive. Thinking about calling MTV and seeing if they want to hire me. But anyway, so that was sort of the first mindset, I guess, of what it means to be. There were many other things that came up along these same lines of what greatness would be. But the second was more along these lines. So I want to play a clip that I found when I Googled called to greatness. This is what I found.
What is greatness? Some say it's only talent or only intelligence. Others say it's the sum of your strength, speed, and skill. These are only tools for accomplishing a God-given mission. God has called us to be people who stand in the face of adversity, who have the courage to destroy barriers, who run the race to win and win to glorify God. We believe the greatness God calls us to can inspire us to fight for change and freedom in a culture that resists it, to have faith when things are going well and amidst the rubble. God calls us to greatness.
So that was a video for, actually, I think it was a basketball camp called Called to Greatness. I don't think he did as good a job in his voiceover as I did, but he was pretty good. But so you see the contrast between the two. One is just personal greatness, personal best, athletic achievement, ability, beating records. And the other one is the greatness that God created us to achieve. So I'm wondering how the three of you understand greatness. Like when you hear the expression called to greatness, what comes to mind for you?
I would say sainthood. I think just being called to greatness is being called to be a disciple of Christ and do God's will for your life. You know, whatever. I think it's different for every person too, because God calls us each to greatness in different ways, and we each have a different path to sainthood. But following that path is what makes you great.
Anything to add to that, Kaylee or Anna?
I think for me, it just means like being set apart from everyone else. We were created to be a people set on a hill. And when you think of the great people, they were different than the rest of the world. When you think of anyone in history that was great, like they were different than the rest of the world. So I think when we say we're called to greatness, we're called to not fall into the same things that the rest of the culture is falling into, or agree with the social norms, but be different and be okay with that difference.
for the three of you right now as teenagers in high school, what does being called to greatness mean for you at this point in your life? Is there something specific that you feel you're being called to?
I think for me, definitely doing work in the pro-life movement and really trying to live a radical life to bring about a culture of life. When you say
live a radical life, what does that mean?
I guess just to do things to bring about awareness about the truth of abortion, and to do things like go and pray outside abortion clinics or devote time every week to go do sidewalk counseling outside of an abortion clinic or something like that, to really make it one of my main commitments in my life, to make it something that's different than the norm of society and something that our society doesn't really stand for very much anymore, life, to go against that, like Anna was saying, and to live something radical, something against society, to fight for that movement. But also I think it's just to strive to grow my faith and to grow as close to, as I can to God, and then to follow his will wherever he's calling me. I think that'll bring me to greatness, whether it's just having a deep conversation with one of my friends about faith, or whether it's praying outside an abortion clinic, you know.
Anna or Kaylee, do you feel that God is calling you to something specific, specific holiness or specific greatness?
I think he uses me in my littleness, and I've like been planning what I'm going to do after high school since I was like a baby, and I've had my whole life planned out, and I thought I like knew what I wanted to do. And so high school in a lot of ways was just like this like thing that I had to do and like get like finish. But I wasn't using it as an opportunity to serve or grow. So I think just being present where I am and knowing that God has placed me in Thomas Worthington High School for a reason, and that he's using me there, and just like being open to that.
What about you, Kaylee?
I definitely agree with Anna. Like, I went into high school thinking that I knew I wanted to be a certain profession, but after like going through like high school, I realized I wanted to be a teacher after doing a service project at my church. And I loved it so much that I now teach at my church in the CCD program for little kids Sunday school. And so I realized how much I loved it. So I'm just, how much like God called me to do it. So I realized like I want to stick with it and keep doing it my whole life.
Are there things that you guys do to help yourselves stay open to recognizing what greatness God is calling you to? I guess what I mean is, like, Gabriel, you feel that you're really being called to champion the pro-life movement. And Kaylee, you didn't think you were being called to be a teacher, but you are being called to be. But we all know that things will continue to morph and change throughout our lives. So what do you do to keep your minds and your hearts open to what God is calling you to do?
I think definitely a really strong prayer life, you know, a commitment to prayer every day, and just not to traditional prayer, but also just silent prayer or listening to what God has to say to you. And I think a really strong devotion to Our Lady, because she was, you know, the greatest person that's ever lived to answer God's calling. Her yes, you know, is greater than any other yes that's ever been given. And I think just to follow in her footsteps and have devotion to her, so through her intercession, we can also give our yes to whatever God is calling us to do.
Going back to the two examples of what it means to be called to greatness, right? The athletic ability, the breaking records, the being the best physical version of yourself, you know, and better than anybody else, versus the other, you know, the holiness, being called to holiness or to sainthood. Do you think one model of greatness is easier to achieve than the other?
I definitely think our society pushes the first one at us and says that you have to, in order to be successful, you have to be the smartest or the most athletic or the prettiest. So I think that's just what we're used to hearing. So it's easier to just fall into that and say, okay, like, this is what I have to do in order to be successful. But the other side doesn't get as much, like, it doesn't get talked about as much. So it's harder to even, like, be open to that form of greatness.
But when you know both sides, mm-hmm. right? So, and I agree, our culture pushes us to this like physical greatness, but we all know people and we ourselves time and time again fall short of achieving that. I mean, we cannot achieve the photoshopped, airbrushed, you know, superstar greatness that the media, you know, tries to convince us that we can achieve, you know. So if you can, if we can recognize that, okay, I can't achieve physical greatness to the degree that society is telling me I should, but I can achieve spiritual greatness. You know, I feel like it kind of lets us off the hook in a way. Do you guys, do you feel relief in that? Like all I have to do is be the person God created me.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Not that it's easy. I mean, I'm sure you struggle to do that too. You know, just sinfulness gets in the way. Life gets in the way. Busyness gets in the way, whatever. But I just always feel like if we could convince everybody, this is the greatness to strive for, people would just be so much less stressed out.
I
mean, the greatness the world presents is what a lot of people think they should strive for. But when you really strive for that, you're doing it on your own. You know, you don't have your faith in like really like fellowship and community and the church and grace and blessings from God himself to achieve that. But when you strive for your spiritual greatness, like that's what you're created. That's what you're created for. That all the gifts and the talents and the skills you have were given to you for you to do that. And when you strive for greatness in our faith and for greatness and holiness, you have God there blessing you and carrying you along the way.
And I'm glad you said that, because it's true. Our gifts do come from God, our talents, our athletic ability, our musical ability, whatever it is. And there's no reason that we can't strive to improve those. You know, it's okay. As long as we're using those gifts to glorify God and remembering that those gifts are temporal and there's, you know, something beyond what we're doing here. Does striving for greatness or striving for sainthood look different for different people? How can everyone strive for sainthood no matter who they are or what they do? I know there are a million examples we could, I mean, that's such a broad question, but I guess the basic question is, does it look the same for everybody or does it look different?
No, not at all. I mean, if you just look at the saints and all the stories of the saints, you know, I mean, from St. Therese, who just did little acts her whole life and was just a humble sister. And then you look at St. Paul, who traveled the world evangelizing, and you look at people who were martyrs and died for their faith, or people who were theologians and doctors of the church. And I mean, there's just each saint has a different story behind them. Some died young, some died old. And that's, I think, how we're each called to be a saint in each of our professions, you know, whether we're just a stay-at-home mom that raises a great family and raises children that are also called to greatness and go out in the world and do great things, or whether we're a teacher that changes lives, or we're a doctor that saves lives, or if we're a priest, or, you know, whatever we all are, wherever we are in our life, God calls us to sainthood in a different way for each person.
And going back to your example about the diversity of the saints, some of the greatest saints were the greatest sinners at one point, you know, and bearing in mind that, not that we should all go out and be sinful because it'll lead to sainthood, but bearing in mind that there's nothing barring us from sainthood, nothing in our past, you know, all it is your relationship with the Lord and keeping your eyes on that and turning toward him if you aren't there now.
And that's so refreshing. Like the world, the first example of greatness, like we're set up to fail. Like, we're never going to be these perfect people. We're never going to be...
Oh, you mean the physical greatness.
Right, the physical greatness. Like, we're set up to fail, and we're never going to live up to those expectations. But, like, there's nothing stopping us from achieving the greatness that God has planned for us, except our own sinfulness, which he's more powerful than. So, like, that's so reassuring and comforting.
And liberating. So going along with what you're saying, what are some of the things in life or in our culture that try to prevent us from fulfilling the greatness to which we're called? What are some of the obstacles that get thrown in our path?
I'd say definitely just lots of things in our society that our society is pushing for, especially on youth. You know, a lot of impurity and like relativism and things like that, that would cause youth and, you know, well, not just youth, but adults and everyone to fall away from their faith or not take their faith as seriously or fall into sin with impurity or the sins against the dignity of life that people, you know, not always are committing, but just accepting, or, you know, that aren't, they're not standing against euthanasia or abortion or against poverty or other things because they make an excuse for or justify it some way in their mind. And just things like that that stop people from really striving for those things that we could be fighting for and fighting against that we need to in our society.
Anna and Kaylee, are there anything, is there anything specific that you think of when you think of obstacles that attempt to prevent people from greatness or holiness? Like if you're thinking, if you're going through your day, walking through the halls in school, I mean, it's like every 5 minutes there's a new obstacle, right?
I think for me, the hardest one to break from is like the expectations and pressure that come with education. And like thinking that if I don't get a 4.0 and get into this great college and get a scholarship and like I'm not going to be successful and I'm not going to be happy and like that's going to lead me to happiness is completely investing my entire life in academics. But the truth is, like, if God has given us talents in school, the best way to use them is to center our lives on Him and not to center our lives on that fleeting talent, but to center our lives on Him and to center our lives on achieving the greatness that He's calling us to. And then school becomes so much easier, academics become so much easier, and you're able to use that talent that God has given you for the reason that He wants you to and not get absorbed in the worldly viewpoint of it.
Speaking of using our talents, how much influence do you guys, do teenagers actually have to inspire others to break out of that mindset of physical greatness or physical achievement or earthly achievement and focus on striving for greatness and holiness? Do you feel like you personally are able to influence people your age in that direction?
I think so, definitely. I think people our age, like even myself, I look for other peers that are striving for greatness or to be inspired by them. And I think we as youth have an amazing impact on everyone because just, I mean, whenever you see youth or young people really passionate about something or putting a lot of effort into something or striving for something, it inspires you more than seeing someone else, you know?
And not only inspiring your peers, but I'm a youth minister, and anytime I'm anywhere with the teenagers in my program, and they're just glorifying God, you know, yeah. And they're just being awesome, which they are, mm-hmm. The adults get hopeful and joyful and excited. And, you know, yeah. Like, I think that teenagers have such a bad rap. And so when people see teenagers yeah. being amazing, it's just very encouraging mm-hmm. and uplifting.
Especially because we have the opportunity to reach so many people. Being mm-hmm. in high school and being in college, we're in contact with so many people right now. And we don't have a family or like a career that we really have to devote a lot of time to. We have a lot of free time and a lot of people we can reach. So I think that helps a lot.
I wanted to play a clip it's a commentary on a quote from Pope Benedict on great versus comfortable. So let's listen to this.
Pope Benedict XVI's quote is, "The world offers you comfort, but you're not made for comfort. You're made for greatness." This is super important to me because it's exactly that. Like, I'm made for something more. Like, this world is not my home. It's not meant to be my home. Everything that the world throws at me to be comfortable is, you know, not necessarily a bad thing, but there's more. Like, I'm made for more.
Our world offers us so many ways to be comfortable and to strive to make everything simple and easier with less pain and less stress. You really have to take a step out of that and be uncomfortable, because in order to preach the gospel, we have to enter into uncomfortable situations. And that quote just really hit me hard, that we're not made for comfort, we're made to be great.
So we're not made for comfort, we're made to be great. Darn it. Wouldn't it be great if they were both? In our catechism, in paragraph 2015, it reads, "The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle." So going along with greatness versus comfort, I'm wondering if this has been true for you. Have there been spiritual battles you've had to fight or crosses you've had to bear that have helped move you closer to perfect holiness?
I think so, definitely. I mean, overcoming sin in your life. You can't really attain greatness if you have sin that you're constantly committing and that's holding you back. So I think just really striving to conquer a lot of sin and a lot of impurity in my life has really helped me, once I've overcame that, to more clearly see my call to greatness and start to try to fulfill that as much as I can. Or just even being comfortable. Like, we get comfortable in our school and with our friends and in our sports, and we spend so much time doing those things. But we did something that made us uncomfortable. We took just 1 or 2 hours a week instead of, you know, we spend 20, 30 hours a week at sports, at practice, at work, in school. And we would just take 1 or 2 hours a week to do something radical for God, praying outside abortion clinic, volunteering at soup kitchens, going around Columbus, distributing stuff to the homeless, or just spending time to meet and evangelize with our friends, or organize donations, or gathering like food and stuff for the homeless, or things for pregnancy resource centers. Or, you know, there's so many different things we could do as youth and we could organize and get our peers involved in if we just took the time and went out of our comfort zone and did something great.
And also, sometimes uncomfortable is actually more comfortable than comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I put comfortable in quotes because think about the people who are most comfortable in terms of wealth or in terms of material things. You know, a lot of times they have anxiety, they have depression, they have stress, they're not comfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas people who are carrying crosses and, you know, lifting up their burdens and just gracefully suffering are much happier in a lot of ways.
Filled with joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So who are the models of greatness in your lives? You don't have any?
I definitely think. I have too many. Yeah.
Too many. Oh, that's a good dilemma. Go ahead, Kaylee.
I definitely think my mom's a big influence on me. I always go to her if I ever need anything, and she always gives me really good advice. And it's just, she's always there for me, and she always sets the model for me on like how to live my life. And she just lives her life so much with like a joy with the Lord, and she's so like spirit filled, and so I strive, and I want to strive to kind of be like her.
We always like to hear about Kaylee's mom's stories. She has the best quotes and the best lines and the best inspiration. So, anybody else in your life, Kaylee? Any other models of greatness? I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, my favorite quote my mom always tells me, it's like, it's not your plan, it's the divine plan. So kind of going back to like earlier, like if just because something doesn't work out, I mean, God's got something bigger planned for you, so.
Wow, would that we could always bear that in mind when we're trying to control situations.
Yeah.
What about you, Anna? Who are the models of greatness in your life?
Definitely my parents. But then I think my group of friends from St. Pat's, I think seeing them in their schools and in their homes, just like being normal teenagers and doing normal teenager things with me. It's not like they're like sitting at home praying all the time. But just like seeing them live radical lives in the place where God has placed them, and the amount of joy that they have and just the love that they have has been a huge inspiration for me.
Let me ask you this question, because I think all parents would love for their kids to be striving for holiness. but unfortunately, it's kind of an uphill battle sometimes. Mm-hmm. So can you give specific, concrete ideas for parents who might be listening as to how they can encourage greatness in their kids? Kaylee, you shared about just your mom and the example she sets and all the wise things she says and all the great advice she gives you. But just in addition to that, how can parents encourage greatness in their kids?
I think just really encouraging a good prayer life and a strong family life, a family that always shares things with each other and prays together. And that will bring about God's will for your family down to each individual, to your children, and how to lead them to holiness. But also, I think just taking time to go and do things that are different or doing something great, you know, because we spend so much time. I think if parents are going to let their children commit to sports and things, which are great to do, and I mean, I'm like not downing sports or anything, but if you're going to commit so much time to that, then also make time to commit to a few hours a week to do something for God, whether that's your family going and volunteering or just praying together or going to pray outside an abortion clinic or whatever it is. And then once your children see that, they will follow that and they will start to take that up on their own and make time and make a greater commitment to their faith, which they really should be doing, and then start doing those things.
I know for me that the things that stick in my mind most about my parents as I was growing up were the sacrifices they made. Yeah. That at the time mm-hmm. I didn't know mm-hmm. necessarily know were sacrifices, yeah. you know, yeah. just yikes. Dave is holding up the 1 minute finger, which means I have to wrap up. This went quickly. I just want to thank you guys all for coming and sharing your ideas of how to achieve greatness, how to at least try to discern God's will in your lives and strive for that. So parents, as usual, I just want to remind you that we welcome your input. If you want to give us ideas about questions you'd like us to answer or topics you'd like us to cover, please email us at info@stgabrielradio.com. Let's close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Precious Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you so much, Jesus, for the gifts you've given us, the talents you've given us, the abilities you've given us. We ask, Lord, that we always use these gifts and talents to glorify you. We thank you, God, for creating us out of love, for love. We ask you to help us always be mindful of who we are, where we came from. We ask that you help us always be open to your will for us in our lives. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Again, you've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt. We were here today with Kaylee, Anna, and Gabe. Thanks for listening, parents. Until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.